What's up, Playlisters? Brian from Playlist Wars here. Just want to let you know that while this show is on hiatus, both Gomez and I have separate shows that are part of the Playlist Wars extended universe, if you will. Gomez has the Sleevey G Show, which you can find at SleeveyGPodcasts.com. And I have a new show entitled My Weekly Mixtape, which you can find over at MyWeeklyMixtape.com. Both shows are also available on all podcast platforms just by searching Sleevey G Show or My Weekly Mixtape. And Playlist Wars will be back soon. Thank you guys so much for your continued support of the show.
What's up, everybody? This is Matt James of Blacktop Mojo, and you're listening to Playlist Wars.
Let the battle begin.
Welcome to Playlist Wars, everybody. I'm part of the dynamic duo. My name is Gomez, and I have my partner in crime, Brian Colbert. With tonight, three special guests, three of the Playlisters' finest. You heard it, three of them. Tim McKay, Eric Chale, and Anthony Welk. Welcome, everybody.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
What's up? Good evening.
Good to see y'all.
Thanks for having us.
Well, first off, thank you guys, because the first thing we want to say is tonight is a special episode for us. It's a very special episode of Playlist Wars. You remember those old 80s shows? It's not going to go down that road, but regardless, tonight is actually a milestone for us. Tonight is Playlist Wars' 1 year anniversary.
Wow.
And when Gomez and I were talking about how we wanted to mark the occasion, our idea was not to do a clips episode where we went back and replayed stuff that we thought was funny. We wanted to do something different because this show is not just about Gomez and I. It's about the Playlisters, everyone who chimes in, everyone who listens. And we're so stoked to have you guys on tonight to be able to celebrate the music that we've been celebrating for the last year all together as one group. So thank you guys so much for doing this with us. It's a real honor for Gomez and I to have you on.
Big time.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, same here. Real honor to be here. Thank y'all.
Yeah, I'm glad you picked me. Glad I made the cut. So.
Well, you guys are fantastic. Big supporters of the show. And we can't thank you guys enough. If anybody out there is listening and you've enjoyed our last year of podcast and you want to support the show in some way, please consider becoming a Patreon member. Just head over to patreon.com/playlistwars and select whatever tier works best for you. Now, like I said, tonight's our 1 year anniversary celebration. So tonight, instead of doing a recap show, we're going to keep the battles going. Only this time, the three of you are battling and Gomez and I are going to put our hands behind our heads and just sit back and relax. Maybe we'll have some popcorn.
Oh, man, that's what I forgot to make.
We're just here for the show's continuity. There's no reason for us to be here. We're handing the reins over to you guys. And the topic tonight, Playlist Wars. That's the topic. We've done 46 episodes to date. Every episode had a bunch of songs talked about. That is where you guys are pulling from. Any episode, any song, any reason. Now, our special guests tonight have each individually created a playlist with their top five favorite tracks from the first year of Playlist Wars. None of the three of them have shared those picks between them or us prior till now. So throughout this episode, they'll each reveal their track ones through track fives one by one, crafting what they each feel is the perfect Playlist Wars playlist. After the episode, we turn it over to you, the Playlister family, as well as Gomez and I, because tonight, we get to vote as well.
Uh-oh.
It's a first. PlaylistWarsPodcast.com is where the voting happens. Head to the 1 year anniversary page. And that is where you guys will decide once and for all which one of these three fine gentlemen got it right. And if you simply can't decide who you want to vote for, while you're visiting the site, you can also listen to each of their playlists just so you could hear where they're coming from with their choices. Now, before we get started, I have a quick trivia question for you three.
Oh, God.
46 episodes. Oh, it's a lot of songs we talked about. Approximately, using the Price is Right closest without going over scenario here. How many songs have we talked about in year one on Playlist Wars? Tim, we'll start with you.
So there's 46 episodes. I won't do all the math. Let's just say, I'll say 400.
Okay.
Anthony.
Oh my gosh. I'll say 180, way off.
Eric.
I'll go 250.
250. All right. So the correct answer, and I actually sat and counted all the show notes, not taking into consideration a song that was talked about on multiple episodes. So with that being said, the answer is 1,095 different songs.
Wow.
Wow.
So Tim, by winning that, you get to go first tonight. There's a pool of pretty much 1,100 songs to choose from. So I'm guessing we're not going to hear much in terms of crossovers or trifectas, but we have been fooled before. So let's get into this. Tim, what do you have for your track one?
All right. Before I get started, I guess my thinking behind where I came up with my playlist, there always has to be some kind of theme, some sort of way to kind of break things down. So what I did, and I want to first commend Brian for his 90s hip hop playlist. I could have just picked five songs from that. I don't know how he didn't win that playlist war. So
neither do I.
There may need to be a Florida recount with that or something. But so I went and picked, either it was focused on the song specifically or the artist. It may not have been my favorite song by the artist, but the artist did have some type of meaning to me. So I was kind of going with that. So my track one, I like anthemic songs to kind of lead off a playlist. And so this kind of falls under it. It has a very, very, very recognizable bass line at the start. You know what it is the minute you hear it. It's one of the best duets of all time. It came from the Queen episode, and Gomez and Brian both picked it. And my track one is Under Pressure.
Nice.
Love it. Love it.
I like it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Guys, more than welcome to talk about it. Just like me and Brian would do. So,
yeah. So, Anthony, you are up next. Did Queen's Under Pressure with David Bowie make your list?
Actually, no, it did not. And I mean, that's a really good pick, but it's funny, when I first heard that song growing up, and I couldn't even tell you what age I was, I just know it was probably in the late 80s, maybe the early 90s. I could not stand that song. I don't know why. I every time I heard it, I was like, no. But eventually, once I got out of high school, went through a little bit of college, and then just moved on, and my musical taste would change, and I got more into Queen. It actually kind of became one of my favorites after that. But yeah, unfortunately, it didn't make it.
Did Vanilla Ice have anything to do with the?
No, definitely not.
I still can't hear the difference between those two songs, even though Vanilla Ice says it does.
Yeah, even the first time when all that whole lawsuit thing came up, I was just like, no, that's not going to fly. You know, just because you added one note to it is not going to change anything, or took away whatever it was that he did. I forget.
I'll never forget that MTV clip. Oh yep. My God, where he's like, it's not done, 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 done. It's done, done. Oh, what a difference.
It's done, 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 done.
Yeah.
The ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, so much different. Completely different song. I don't know what you're talking about.
He got a huge hit out of it, so give him credit.
Yeah, exactly. Look, more power to him, because he could live off Ice Ice Baby money for the rest of eternity. So
you're not kidding.
I never, ever, ever trash a one-hit wonder, man. I'd love to be one.
The hardcore version.
I still love Jim Carrey's impression of that in Living Color.
And I heard Eric mention the hardcore version. I actually saw him play that at the Rec Room, which is Wallington, New Jersey. And Vanilla Ice played there, and he came out and did a hardcore version of it. And the place was thinking they were getting Ninja Rap Vanilla Ice. And then he came out with his full band. The place absolutely lost their mind. Like, he won the crowd over like you would not believe. So,
oh my God.
Hell of a version there. I'm not going to lie.
That whole album was okay.
Yeah, Hard to Swallow, it was called.
Oh, I totally forgot what it was called, but it was all right.
So, Eric, did Queen of any song or Under Pressure make your list?
Under Pressure did not, but of course Queen made my list.
Okay.
Oh, man.
They're my second favorite band, other than Kiss. So, yes, of course they did.
That's already making me feel like the odd man out.
So where does Queen fall on your list, man?
Queen falls at number three on my list. And it is I Want It All. And that was on Gomez, I believe, number eight. from his list.
Oh.
And it's not their best song, although the solo is fantastic.
Yes.
The riff is fantastic. And the extended version, not the radio version, the full solo, because they cut the best part of it out on the single and the video. And it's special to me because I brought my mom to see Queen right before she passed. And she loved Brian May. So she ran up, not during I Want It All, but anyway, she ran up to the Queen, the part of the queue that comes out, and got pictures. And it was to the point security had to take her back to her seat. She was just so enamored. And she was like, give me one more minute. And security, you had your minute, miss. Please go back to your seat. But she was just like, right. And that was actually one of the last public outings she had before she got sick. So she got to, and she was just like a kid, bright eyed. So yeah, I Want It All, and they played it at that concert, and Lambert does a good job, but my Lord, that solo is just out of this world.
And it was in one of my favorite TV shows, Cobra Kai season one.
No.
Oh my God.
And I have to say,
it's a great show.
It's a great show. And if anything, guys, we did talk about it at Space Castle. Me and DT had a, as Brian said in the Instagram live we did, it was a full feature, almost 2-hour episode with me and him talking about Cobra Kai from season one to season four and figuring out what season five and six are going to be like.
You know, the next Karate Kid showing up at some point.
Hillary Swank, here's what I'm going to say right now before we continue. Hillary Swank is Tori's mother.
Thank you.
Ooh, possible bombshell here.
That would be interesting.
So Miyagi-Do mom and Cobra Kai daughter. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I think you're right.
Yeah, Will Smith's a producer, so I could see Jaden Smith.
Oh, please no.
That would just ruin it for me. I would literally try to call Will Smith's agent and say, don't do it. Please don't.
No. I think Ralph Macchio said it's not happening.
Yeah. I think William Zabka even said it ain't happened.
Well, there's one crossover before we go into a full movie podcast
here.
One crossover I would like to see just as a tip of the hat, because they did it in an episode in season two where they had the party and they did Beercules. That was a nod to How I Met Your Mother. And really? Barney Stinson was a huge fan of William Zabka and the Karate Kid. Somehow Neil Patrick Harris has to do a cameo at some point in Cobra Kai to kind of complete that circle, because the love that How I Met Your Mother showed the Karate Kid, I feel like was the impetus to start the conversation to create Cobra Kai.
You might be right.
You could be right, but we'll see what happens.
Still. He's great in everything he does.
Oh, yeah. So.
He could perform at the All Valley tournament next, right, instead of Carrie Underwood.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. I'd say that.
We just wrote the next season.
Residuals.
All right, back to the music.
Yeah.
So we have a crossover with Queen. Unfortunately, not a trifecta, but that's okay. Anthony, the guilt you're feeling right now, Gomez and I feel every single week.
Wait. He gets the axe.
You get the axe.
Yeah, I do, right?
You get the proverbial axe. Wow, Brian and I don't get it. This is the greatest night now.
We just get to talk about it. So Anthony, track one, you are up, buddy.
All right, for my track one, I went with episode 34 from Bon Jovi, and I went with Undivided, which was actually on Sean Faust's list. With that one, for me, it's when I first heard that song, which was when I first got the Bounce album on CD, I believe it's actually even the opening track on that album. The guitar riff, just the way it started out, to me, it just had a heavier sound than Bon Jovi, anything I ever heard Bon Jovi really do up to that point, that I can remember at least. And the song just grabbed me from the beginning, but that guitar riff is what I really liked about it. And then just the heavy sound to me overall, and just the rhythm and the feel of the song is what really got me.
Fantastic pick. Eric,
very good pick.
Did any Bon Jovi make your list?
They did not. And no.
I know you're not a Bon Jovi fan, so it's all good.
It's not Bon Jovi. It's Richie Sambora. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. I'll tell you someday offline.
I don't know why, but I really just had some feeling that it probably wasn't going to make anybody's list. And then when I saw that Chael was here, I had a feeling, yeah, so if anybody's not going to be on, it probably wouldn't make it.
You got me. Unfortunately, no. Like I said, they're not. I love Slippery Ruin Wet, love New Jersey. I just can't listen to them anymore. I can't.
All right. Tim, did any Bon Jovi make your list?
no Bon Jovi on my list either.
All right.
All right.
So with that being said, Eric, we are now to you for your track one.
All right. My track one was from a recent episode. It comes from Brian's playlist at number six. And it was I Was Wrong, Social Distortion.
Nice. Ah.
I love that song. And the way I did my playlist was I actually made a playlist and I played it in my car for the last week or so. And it worked. So that's how I went with my songs. And why did I pick I Was Wrong? Because basically it was my life till 30. Pretty much as well. The riff is great. And it still makes my driving playlist, as I just said, 30 years later. They're just a great band and totally influenced Volbeat, who I love as well.
Amen. Love Volbeat. A Volbeat episode will be forthcoming. Let me just
say. Oh, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah. Love me some Volbeat. Anthony, any Social D make your list?
Definitely not. In fact, as much as I'm going to hate to admit it here, I have yet to even hear that episode. I'm actually going to listen to it tonight after we finish taping here. But yeah, I haven't heard that. And that's a band I'm not even familiar with at all. I don't even believe I've heard any of their stuff before that I can recall.
Ooh, so, you're going to enjoy that.
Yeah, you're going to go down a rabbit hole. Dave from the Beer in Front podcast was on. Awesome guy.
I like him.
I mean, he's got a Social D tattoo.
Yes.
That he talks about in the episode. So the love for this band is real. I think you're going to enjoy the rabbit hole too, man. They are a classic, classic punk band with a country rock influence.
That's going to be interesting.
And Rolling Stones.
Probably a little Elvis too.
Oh, wow.
A little bit of everything.
They don't have a bad song. They really don't.
Tim, any Social D on your list?
Not on mine. I like the song a lot. It just doesn't fit kind of the theme of my playlist, but that's a great choice.
All right, so we are moving on now to track two. Gomez, isn't this awesome? We don't have to like have any notes or anything. We could just
I'm enjoying it because I'll tell you, to pick a top five for these guys of 46 episodes, over 1,095 songs. I gotta commend you guys on that. That's gotta be difficult.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know what? It wasn't that hard.
Oh,
okay.
Most of our picks suck, Gomez. All right, Tim, we are back to you now for track two, buddy.
Okay. So I want to go back to track one and play the role of Brian real fast and just bring up the Freddie Mercury tribute concert in terms of covers and the version Under Pressure with Annie Lennox and David Bowie. Wow. And then I Want It All with Roger Daltrey on lead vocals. So if one of my favorite Christmas presents of all time, my now wife, first Christmas we had together, she got me the DVD of the Freddie Mercury tribute concert. And
nice.
Oh, wow.
Really watched, like, I didn't even know they had it out on DVD yet. And so those were a few of the songs that I just kept going back to over and over again, watching those performances. So I do want to
absolutely brilliant.
Play the Brian role on covers for a second.
Oh, love it. Love it.
So my track two is from an artist that, because of this podcast and then the podcast from the guest that was on this episode, I kind of revisited a lot and have sort of gone back into their catalog and kind of just gotten more appreciation for this artist. And so it's from the Tom Petty episode and it's Here Comes My Girl, and Ben Montgomery picked it from Records Revisited podcast. So that's my track two.
All right.
Great song. Great pick.
Anthony, any Tom Petty?
No, unfortunately, no Tom Petty on my list.
All right. Eric?
No Tom Petty on my list. I love him, but he didn't make my list.
All right. Well, do want to give a shout out to Ben at Records Revisited and Jeff Scoble. They each chimed in with their favorite episodes. And believe it or not, Ben said it was his favorite episode, too. So that I think that's fitting. His exact quote was, "It was pretty damn good. Great guest." So shout out to Ben, our friend at Records Revisited. Ben and Wayne, awesome show. Good friends of the show. Can't wait to have them on again. And I'll be honest, I'm a little sad that Petty didn't get a trifecta, but that's okay. I'm glad somebody's got Petty love.
We were all over the map on Petty, weren't we?
We didn't have a single trifecta in the Petty episode. Not one.
Dude, I don't even think we had a crossover.
That's why it was so long. There was just so many songs. I think out of the 1,095 songs, 1,094 came from the Petty episode.
Felt like that.
All right, Anthony, we are back to you for your track two now.
My track two is from episode 40 on Sheryl Crow, If It Makes You Happy. That actually made the list for all three of y'all. It was Mark Trojanowski and Gomez and Brian on that one. That one, it probably could have been like literally almost any song that had at least made it on any of y'all's list from the self-titled album that she had. Because for that one, it was at a time when I was briefly in college and my mom and dad had made a trip to go visit me up in school. And we just went shopping at the local mall in Amarillo, Texas, where I was going to school at. And just out of because gift, my mom actually bought me the self-titled CD because I had already heard that video on MTV or saw it on MTV. So in a way, it's got a little bit of a sentimental meaning to it for me. So that's why I kind of went with that one.
Such a great song. It's probably my favorite Sheryl Crow song. So
same.
So damn good.
And it her is. Vocals, I mean, it just, you know, to me, I mean, she's like wailing on that song so much. I had no idea that she had such a strong vocal capability until she, you know, came out with that single.
Yeah, she's amazing. We Colburn and Company covers that song. Our friend from high school, Nikki Capiello, sings with the band and she nails it.
She has it.
And every time she does, I actually have to close my eyes because I start getting goosebumps and I'm like, don't get emotional on stage, even though we're just jamming this song. The song just hits me. It just feels so good when I hear that song, and I love it. Such a fantastic tune. Now, Eric, did any Sheryl Crow make your list?
Almost. So you can see on video, it's crossed out. Maybe you can't. There goes the neighborhood. Just missed it. But it was crossed out. I love that song. It reminds me of hanging out at my buddy's house at his bachelor pad playing NHL on the console.
Sega Genesis. PlayStation, Sega Genesis, it don't matter. NHL's NHL, man.
Yes. That album, Steely Dan Aja, however you pronounce it, and he used to play Dead. But the Sheryl Crow album was a constant. And that song reminds me.
Nice.
Love it. Tim.
No Sheryl Crow on mine. That was a really great episode. If I did pick one, it would be Run Baby Run from it. But
great tune.
Oh, that's too. A good
another,
one.
That's another good
one. Yeah.
All right. So now we are back to Eric for track two.
All right. My track two. And I guarantee you no other songs are going to make anybody else's list. I didn't write down what episode it was from, but it was Brian's number eight and Sean's number eight. And it is Stand by Poison.
Nice.
Now, everybody can laugh. I love Poison. And I picked this song because of Richie Kotzen, who is, other than Brian May, my favorite guitar player. And if I've seen him live, and the guy just does things that nobody else can do. And that album, Native Tongue, I would put that up against any classic rock album. Top to bottom. It's fantastic.
Wow.
If you haven't heard it, listen to it. It's not the hair band. It's a blues rock album. It's amazing.
It is not the Poison you know from the hair band videos. It is a totally different band. And it was fantastic. An amazing album, probably their best. But yes. For me, Flesh and Blood was leaning in that direction. And Flesh and Blood was a mix of the two. So that's my favorite. But musically, Native Tongue was probably stronger. So I love that pick. I think that was episode 3, actually. So all the way back in the beginning. Love it.
It was episode 3. Yes, it was.
All right. Anthony, did any Poison make your list?
No, but after hearing y'all talk about that album now, I want to go listen to it.
Oh, do it. You'll love it.
But yeah, no, Poison made my list.
I promise you, you will love it. And I apologize. Mm-hmm. I know the guys at Records Are Visited. I did the Flesh and Blood episode on Records Are Visited, and they still make fun of me about it to this day because it was such a random album. But I genuinely love Flesh and Blood and Native Tongue because to me, they were Poison maturing. And at the time, you realize I'm 12, 13 years old. I was starting to grow up a little bit. And the humorous open up and say, was starting to kind of be like, okay, that was funny. But
right.
Unskinny Bop was kind of, but the rest of the album, there was some fantastic stuff on Flesh and Blood. And then Native Tongue was an album that even my father, who didn't want anything to do with the hair bands, was like, this is rock and roll. I like this. And to me, that says a lot. That speaks volumes.
That's what I'm saying. It stands up to any classic album. Really, it does.
Tim, any Poison?
No Poison for me.
All right. So with that being said, we are moving on to track 3. Eric had Queen's I Want It All. Tim, we're up to you.
Okay. So my track 3, so I actually just did an episode of Records Revisited reviewing this artist's album where the song came from. So this comes from the 80s movie soundtrack episode. And I picked, this is one of Gomez's picks, and this is When Doves Cry by Prince.
Nice. Oh, man, that's a good one. I can't believe I didn't even make that one on my list.
That's a good pick. I love it.
See, this. Anthony, you're feeling the real guilt. We do this every week. This is the guilt. The playlist is the guilt.
This is what we feel every single episode. We're like, damn it, I forgot to pick that. Trust me, it's hard. It was a great pick, Tim, on that one.
Thank you. I saw Purple Rain when I was way too young. Like, we got cable when I was very young. And so I was Apollonia coming out of the waters of Lake Minnetonka happened way too young for me. But 1999 and Little Red Corvette got me into Prince. And then obviously seeing the video for When Doves Cry the first time and watching him crawl on the floor and being like, what in the world is this? What am I watching? And then trying to make sure I flipped the channel before my parents came in.
I remember those days.
Yeah. So Prince, he's amazing. One of my favorite concerts of all time, seeing him live, just watching him as a performer. And just, it's not my favorite song on Purple Rain, but of the Prince choices that you had from that episode, it's my favorite of the, you guys had When Doves Cry and Let's Go Crazy, and I like When Doves Cry a little bit more than Let's Go Crazy.
And I think it's a safe assumption that at some point in the near future there will be a Prince episode of
Without a Doubt. Wars,
so
pick me.
You got it, man.
One of my favorite things with Prince is when he had the Super Bowl halftime show, and it was
best one ever.
With the rain. So when Purple Rain hit and everything was purple, was one of my favorite halftime Super Bowl shows ever.
Oh, yeah.
Minus Tom Petty.
And but I'm saying that I was at Tom Petty live, and Prince's was better because all I saw was the black curtain that they put behind the Heartbreakers with all the lights on it. So we basically, for the whole episode, stared at the black curtain. So to me, it wasn't until we got home and I watched the DVR of the actual performance that I saw the Tom Petty halftime show that I was actually at. So just putting that out there.
Wow.
All right. But I did win $20 on that because I called my father because they handed us a lyric sheet to sing along. And I bet him $20 that I could correctly name all the songs that were going to be played. So.
And then now your dad's going to ask for that $20 back soon.
Yeah, probably. Eric, did you have any Prince on your list?
I do not. Love Prince, but did not make my list. It didn't fit the format.
All right. So, Anthony, with that being said, we are back to you for track three.
Track three came off of episode 15 with Weezer, and this one was, for me, Hash Pipe, which also made all three of y'all's lists, Aaron from The Itch, and then, of course, you, Brian and Gomez. With that one, it kind of goes back to the kind of the reason I picked my opening track on Undivided from Bon Jovi. It's got that same, like, eighth note rhythm guitar riff, you know, to open up, and pretty much carries throughout the whole song. So anytime I hear a guitar riff like that, especially obviously, you know, the song's really good. It's just, for me, it's catchy right away. So those are songs that I kind of gravitate towards and I listen to a lot. And this one is no different. So that was my pick for track three.
Love it. Love it. Have you ever heard Toto's cover of Hash Pipe?
Seriously? I didn't know that they even did one.
They did the crossover.
Really? Oh, wow.
Toto covered Hash Pipe right after Weezer covered Rosanna in Africa.
Wow. I didn't know they did that.
You could find it on Spotify. It's decent. It's good.
It's pretty good.
Have to check that out. Yeah,
definitely. I'm going
to
write that down.
All right. Eric, did Weezer make your playlist?
They did not. They did not. I like them. I don't know. I just don't listen to them much anymore. I do like them. The Blue Album's fantastic.
Oh, God, yeah. That's an absolute masterpiece. That and Pinkerton. Two 90s.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. I see the Green Album's good, too.
Yeah, but, see, you like Weezer.
I do like Weezer. I just don't listen to him much, but they're a good band. And he can actually play guitar.
Oh, yeah.
He's a fantastic guitar player. He just doesn't do it.
Now, I know you're an 80s rock guy. You should give Van Weezer a try. It was actually a very, very fun album.
I have it. I couldn't make it through it.
Really?
Wow.
I love that one.
That was a really good album. I liked it. I enjoyed that one.
I'll try it again.
All right, Tim. Any Weezer on your list?
No, I had El Scorcho was kind of on my possibilities, as but it just doesn't fit kind of the theme of what I picked. But yeah, they do have a number of songs that are fantastic, but just didn't fit what I was going for.
Awesome. Well, earlier today, we threw out on Twitter our phone number in case anybody wanted to leave any last minute messages that we can roll into the episode. And our friend Aaron from The Itch dropped a voicemail. So let's give that a listen.
Hey, this is Aaron from The Itch Rock Radio and Podcast. Congratulations to Brian and Gomez on 1 year of Playlist Wars. I love the concept that you guys created and so many of the topics and bands that you cover. The show has legitimately actually become one of my favorite podcasts. And beyond that, it's just been a pleasure to get to know you guys. You treat everyone with such respect and welcoming. You're great to chat with about music in general. And your show just makes learning about music that much more fun. So The Itch is looking forward to year two of Playlist Wars, to continuing to contribute ideas and share guests, and especially to engage in battle. Congratulations, guys.
Awesome. I want to give a huge shout out to our friends at The Itch, Aaron, KC, and Dan. One hell of a fun music podcast that we're so thankful to be aligned with in this Pottyverse, if you'd call it. Thank you guys for the collaborations as well as the friendship, and we're looking forward to rocking year two with you guys as well. All right, Tim, we're back to you now for track four.
All righty. So my track four and why I picked it. So back, again, kind of going back to my younger days, my parents randomly won a car at an auction at my sister's high school. And it was this gigantic boat of a, I believe it was a Cadillac, this like puke yellow thing with bench seats and all that stuff. And so in that car, there was a 8-track player. And so I was maybe 4 or 5 and had no idea what 8-tracks were. But one of the 8-tracks that my mom had was from this artist, and it was his greatest hits. And so I got exposed to him at a very young age. It didn't necessarily scar me like the Purple Rain movie did. So this is from your 1971 episode. Brian and Gomez both picked it, and it is Tiny Dancer by Elton John.
Nice.
Ooh. Oh, very good song.
Wonderful.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I love Elton John. It's not my favorite song. It obviously got a huge, made a huge comeback from Almost Famous and everything, but I love Elton John, so I wanted to include him on the playlist. So.
And that's another episode that Gomez has been talking about. We have an Elton John episode coming up sometime in year two as well.
You can pick me for that too.
Oh, okay. We're just excited that people want to talk music with us. So say no more.
You know, when you do the Nickelback show, you know who wants to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And believe it or not, there's several people, because Mitch LaFon, who came on the show for Huey Lewis in the News, said, if you guys ever do Nickelback, and I said, Are you? He goes, no, dude, serious as a heart attack. I want to do Nickelback too. Like, he's a big Nickelback fan. And so there's definitely love for them out there. I'd be curious to see if we actually posted the chime in on Twitter, how many people would attack us though.
What's wrong with Nickelback? I don't get it.
I don't either. I don't get all the hate, you know?
They got a lot of great tunes. They are, what, because they're Canadian?
No, it's got nothing to do with the kid.
It felt like it was, because that's...
No, honestly, right. You want to know why? Because they're the Bon Jovi of this generation.
Right.
They're, pardon I've used the word, not to be offensive, but it's soccer mom hard rock. It's offensive to a point. The lyrics are just a little bit risque, but not to the point that they're over the top. It's a lot of innuendo. You think about some of the Bon Jovi lyrics on Slippery When Wet and 7800, and then you listen to Something in Your Mouth by Nickelback, and you can hear they're all about the innuendos. Musically, they're catchy. They have the ballads. They have the Lighters in the Air song. They're this era's Bon Jovi. And the reason people love and hate Bon Jovi is the same reason people love and hate Nickelback. And that's my 2 cents on that one.
And Brian's a big fan of Photograph, though.
No.
Yeah, no, that is not a good song.
It's a terrible song.
If we did a Nickelback episode and I started to say the words "foot," the door would open and my wife would just hand me divorce papers and keep going, because every time she hears that song, she literally says it's cringe lyrics at its finest. But
there are other songs they do that you listen to, like Animals. I'm like, that's just a kick-ass rock song.
Yeah, it is.
Great tune.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was it The Ferryman off the latest album?
Oh, yeah.
That's a great song. But I was not a big fan until I saw them live. They converted me live. They picked some kid out of the audience and had him play guitar. Now, it was all bar chords, but they showed him what bar chords to play. And I don't think it was a setup, you know, and it was pretty cool. They were good live.
Makes for a great moment. Yeah.
Dang.
And then I will say a shout out to Nickelback for their cover of Dirty Laundry, because that, which if you haven't heard it on Spotify, is a fantastic hard rock cover, almost made my hard rock covers playlist. But I was afraid I'd be halfway through the word Nickelback when people would be turning the show off. Anyway, Anthony, going back off of Nickelback here, did Elton John make your playlist?
No, it sure did not. But Tiny Dancer is definitely one of my top favorites of his. I've always loved that song as far back as I can remember when I first heard it. That's a really good pick.
All right. And Eric?
He did not make my list. I love Elton John, though. It just, again, it didn't fit the format. But a Tiny Dancer is so good.
So, Anthony, we are back to you now for track four.
My track four comes off of episode 6 for U2. Now, I will say that this close, I was wanting to fit that Christmas song you picked on there. So close, but it just didn't do it for the song I really wanted to go with, which was Where the Streets Have No Name, which made actually both Gomez's and Chris Hartman's list from that episode.
Yep.
Now, with that one, the reason I went with it, one, obviously, because I do like the song. It's one of my favorite U2 songs of all time, especially from the 80s. But the Super Bowl halftime show, to this day, in my opinion, again, just strictly my opinion, I think it's one of the best ones ever. But again, you're talking about the times it was performed for just after 9/11 had happened. Mm-hmm. And yes. I mean, they came out with that thing draped behind them that showed the names of all of the victims that had passed, you know, that had gotten killed in the World Trade Center. And of course, the airplane that crashed with the passengers on it. So it was like a real heavy, like, meaning, I guess you could say, for that. And it's just a song I've always loved. But the fact that they did it at the Super Bowl halftime show with the way they performed it was just one of the more moving moments I can remember from that time.
All right. Eric, did any U2 make your list?
They did not. They did not. Again, I'm not. I mean, I like them, but in short listens, I guess. So no, they did not.
And Tim, any U2?
So my track 5 is a U2 song.
Oh.
Oh.
So the U2 episode was the first episode I ever listened to of the podcast. So that was my indoctrination. And it was obviously famous for the Christmas song.
Now, I got to ask you this.
Yes.
When you heard this and you heard Brian put in the Christmas song, what was your first reaction when you heard that?
I was driving and was like... just like, why in the world, like, with all of all the songs that U2 have, that of your top 10, one of them is a Christmas song.
The one thing is, I'm glad nothing happened to you while you were driving. Yeah, because
I took the car off a cliff. The world is doomed. Yeah.
The bill for the service is coming.
All right, I'm sorry, Tim, go ahead, because I had to ask the question.
Yeah. So my song is the song I picked from U2 has a lot of personal meaning to me, kind of closing out my playlist. I wanted something sort of like my first track, kind of anthemic, that famous for the performance at Live Aid of this song, the long 12-minute version with all the other songs kind of cut into, or that he sings along to, like Ruby Tuesday and stuff. But so I picked Bad. And that was Chris Hartman's pick from on his playlist. So that's my favorite U2 song.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, neither of you are getting my vote because you didn't pick the Christmas song. So
one of you two will get my vote just because you didn't pick the Christmas song. So thank you.
I was hoping that would be a trifecta, damn it.
Hey, you would have to bribe all three of these guys just to get that on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, 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 no.
All right, Eric, we are back to you for your track 4.
All right. Number 4 is, because they've been in the news lately and on social media, is Motley Crue with Dancing on Glass. And I believe that was Derek's number 7 pick. And I picked them because it's an interesting song. I love the riff. And Mick Mars is a very innovative guitar player. I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. And the lyrics. Lyrically, it's not your typical Motley Crue girls, girls, girls song. It's about his heroin addiction. And it's interesting. The whole song's interesting. And it fits my kind of driving theme.
All right. Well, Tim, your playlist is closed. So it didn't make your list. But if you want to chime in on the song.
I can't speak to the song because I'll tell you I've never heard it. But I can speak to Motley Crue. And so my first ever 45 that I got that my mom ever bought me was Too Young to Fall in Love by Motley Crue. She bought it at Woolworths at West County Mall in St. Louis, Missouri.
Those are the days.
And it kind of, again, I'm the youngest of five. By the next closest in age to me is 9 years. So I was kind of left to my own devices. And that turned out to obviously be a lot of MTV. So the Motley Crue videos when I was very young, my parents didn't know what I was watching. And so when I asked, hey, I want this, and the cover had them in back in their makeup days and everything, I don't think she really knew what I was asking for. So I do have some tie into Motley Crue, and I am going to their stadium tour this summer with Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett. So I'm interested in seeing that.
Good luck with that.
I don't know if Mick Mars will make it. So
it's not Mick I'm afraid of. It's Vince's vocals. Yeah. He's had some issues over the year on, unfortunately, it just keeps popping up on social media. However,
you can enhance that maybe.
I was going to say, not that I would say, but if there were ever a time to use maybe some extra vocals to help out on a stadium tour that's charging $250 a ticket, maybe they could pull some older tracks and get the vocals a little more and let him kind of sink in where he can, because some of the stuff I've seen him do lately has been a little hard to watch. However, you've got Poison, who's always a top-notch band.
Yep.
You've got Def Leppard, who's always a top-notch band, and you've got Joan Jett, who's a legend. So regardless, you're getting your money's worth. I've actually talked to drummer Jay because they're playing in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and we said, dude, let's go, because worst case scenario, even if we get one song in by the Crue and we're like, okay, this is going to be a total show, we've at least got three great bands that'll make it worth the money beforehand. So
that's true. Yeah.
$150. Yeah. That's how much I pay for that ticket. $150.
All right.
So I wouldn't go in there. But also, if we went to Hershey, forget it. You're going to have trouble finding me. It's like a fat kid in a chocolate factory.
Anthony, did any Motley Crue make your playlist?
No, and that's another one. As soon as he said Motley, I was like, oh, man, another one I just didn't get on there. But no, that's actually a song I do like. I'm not as familiar with it as a lot of their other catalogs. There's like, I think about two or three albums of theirs that I really listen to more often than not. But yeah, unfortunately, didn't make my list.
You know what? They need to bring back John Corabi.
Oh, my God. That self-titled is a masterpiece.
I keep trying to push that. People,
yeah, Anthony, if you've never heard the self-titled 1994 Motley Crue album, add that to your list.
Definitely.
It's a different band. It's a different band.
The best grunge album ever released.
Wow. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be checking that one out, because I never did when it actually originally came out. I just didn't have interest in it. But after hearing a lot of people talk about it, it's definitely piqued my curiosity for sure.
Yeah, and they kind of did it dirty, no pun intended, in the dirt. The way they kind of made it seem like nobody cared. People did care. They just said, God, this should have been released under a different band name, because it's not Motley Crue, but the music's the best Motley Crue ever wrote.
Wow.
That is true.
Yeah.
That speaks a lot of words. And the movie was really good, though.
Yeah. All right. So we are on to the final track. Tim, you closed with an anthem with U2's Bad. Anthony, what are you closing out with, man?
My track five comes from the Ozzy Osbourne episode number 38, and it's Shot in the Dark, that made both yours and Gomez's list. The reason for that pick, it's a song that if I had to individually say what song I listen to the most of Ozzy's, it's probably this one. And despite the long career that I guess you could say he already had up to this point, this was actually the song that really got me into Ozzy as being a fan of his, because at that time I was starting to get into 80s metal just in general. So this was sort of like an introduction, I guess you could say, to his solo career for me. And so that's when I went with that one.
Awesome. Great pick.
Great song.
Great song. Obviously made my Ozzy top 10. So I got nothing bad to say about that. Tim, it didn't make yours, but if you have any chime in for Ozzy.
So as you've kind of seen from my list a little bit, I'm not as much into kind of the metal hard rock scene, I guess. It's not, I don't necessarily gravitate to it. So I appreciate them and everything. And Black Sabbath, my older brother was big into Black Sabbath, so I knew Ozzy from a young age. So I remember Iron Man was the kind of the wrestling themes. I remember Iron Man was a walk-in for a tag team back in the NWA wrestling territory. I think they're called the New Breed. So I remember that.
Yep.
Well, you see, this is kind of a cool example of why Gomez and I, because people have said to us, why are your episodes so all over the map? And this is a great example of to why, because we have three different playlisters on and three playlists that go in completely different directions. And we're trying to cover all the bases. You might not listen to every single episode because a band might not resonate with you, but we want to make sure there's always something coming your way that will. So by all means, that's kind of why we've been leaning more into the topic episodes, because the topics could be kind of anything you want, as tonight is turning out. So Eric, Shot in the Dark, Ozzy Osbourne.
Did not make my list. I love the song. I mean, it's probably his poppiest song, maybe. But no, Ozzy didn't make my list at all. I love him, but I forget about him, if that makes any sense. Sabbath, no. But Ozzy solo, I forget. I don't know why. But I love him. Randy Rhoads is fantastic. I love Zakk Wylde. So, he didn't make my list. My biggest Ozzy memory is actually when Halford came out and sang for him at the Camden show, I think, the Ozfest. That was fantastic when Halford did that. So anyway, he did not make my list.
The last time I saw him was the Ozfest tour at Giant Stadium in New Jersey. And it was Fear Factory, Pantera, Marilyn Manson, Ozzy solo, and Black Sabbath. So he did two sets. Pantera came out early, and Phil just said to the crowd, I see all you people in the stands. I want every single one of you MFers on this floor right now. And they opened with Effing Hostile.
Ugh.
And people were literally diving out of the stands onto the floor at Giant Stadium. And at the time, my buddy and I were sitting at the top of section 100, and security walked over to us and said, are you guys going to go run and jump? And I looked at him like, dude, I'm 300 pounds. I'm not running anywhere and I'm not jumping anywhere. I said, no, we're not going anywhere. He goes, great. And he goes, you got front row tickets. Go enjoy the rest of the show. And they upgraded us to front row right on the side of the stage to watch the entire rest of the day. So I got to see Manson up close, Ozzy solo, and Black Sabbath. It was the first time Black Sabbath came back in the 90s. So it was really, really cool.
I was at that show.
Yo, you were. Did you dive?
No, I was in a row, and it was terrifying when Manson came on.
Yeah.
Because I worked for a telecom company, and we'd get free tickets.
Nice.
So Giant Stadium was one of their clients, so we got the tickets, and we were front row. And when Manson came on, it was a wave. You couldn't move. My feet were off the ground, and you just separated from your group. And when Manson, everybody started jumping during Manson, and it was terrifying, but it was a great show.
Yeah.
Joe Holmes was playing guitar, right?
Yeah, back then. Yeah. The only argument I had with that night is they had a second stage with some amazing bands.
And it was like back further, right?
And you couldn't hear a thing.
Was Cold Chamber on that?
I think Cold Chamber, Downset. It was like it was all those 90s, like industrial hardcore bands, but you couldn't hear a damn thing they did. And that part sucked.
The only time I think it sucked for me was when I missed Ozfest at PNC in the pouring rain when the grass was ripped apart.
Oh, the mud throwing.
The mud throwing. You were there. I gave you my ticket to give it to somebody because I got sick that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I was so depressed. But the other thing I was cracking up, I go, I'm glad I didn't go because, man, my sneakers would have been all messed up.
No, that was insanity. My buddy was sitting in the 400 section at PNC Bank Art Center. For anyone that has never been there, it's an amphitheater. And the lawn is right behind the 400 section. So he paid like $300 for his ticket, and we paid 11 cents for ours on the lawn.
Yep.
And we were about 10 feet from him. And as soon as people started picking up mud from the lawn, my buddy grabs a whole handful. It doesn't throw it towards the stage, just whacks my buddy in the back of the head with it. And he turns around and he's just laughing. He's like, guess you can't throw it back. You don't have any reserves down there. And then we started seeing the mud flying over us. And we're like, oh, this is making the news.
No.
We're like, this is bad. This is
that
not
was
good.
So bad that I even remember you calling me on the way home going, like, Gomez, be happy you never showed.
Dude, we grabbed towels out of our trunks and we're just covered in mud. We weren't even throwing it. It was just raining on us.
Wow.
That was a monsoon rainstorm, though. I wish I was there.
Yeah.
Was that the concert they changed the rules after?
Yes.
Because Papa Roach were the ones saying, throw all the mud down. And everyone was like, well, if you say so, here you go.
Wow.
All right. Well, Eric, we have one song left and you are up.
All right. So my song, I think, is an anthem, but it's a little slower. Shinedown's Get Up, I consider it to be an anthem. And I think it fits my playlist as the closing song. It was Amanda's number 7, I believe. And Shinedown's one of my favorite bands all time. I know they're a newer rock band, but there's just something about them. It's Mrs. Chale and I. It's our band, as we said on the Shinedown episode we were on. And I'm not an emotional person per se, but this song gets me every time, especially live. It's just fantastic live. Everybody lights up their phones or their lighters, and the whole place is just sings along. It's very emotional for us. So that is my my last song.
Tim, obviously didn't make your list, but if you have any thoughts on it.
I appreciate the fact that it brings out that type of emotion in you. And like with my track 5, like I mentioned, it's an emotional song for me. It reminds me of my sister passed away, and kind of I listened to that a lot kind of leading up to her when she was sick with and everything. So I appreciate the fact that music can do that, and that it you included a song like that on a playlist. I think that's cool.
Well, thank you.
And Anthony, any chime in on Shinedown?
Yeah, well, I can't speak specifically on the song because I'm still new to the band, but hearing Eric's and his wife's episode on that Amaryllis album, it was my introduction, so I guess you could say, to Shinedown. And I can actually see why they love that band so much, because the music that I have heard, they are really good. And I don't even know why. Honestly, I never gave them a chance to really listen to them beforehand. But yeah, their music is so good. So yeah, I got it, man. That's a really great pick right there to close out a playlist with.
All right. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, there we have it, everybody. We got 5 songs, all different directions. And now's the part of the show where we'll let you guys go through each of your play. I'm so used to saying it one way every week. This is really throwing me off for a loop here. All right, let me try that again.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. All right, guys. Now's the time for you to each go through your playlists one by one. See what I did there? So everybody could hear your ideas of a Playlist Wars playlist in its entirety. So, Tim, we will start with you, sir.
All right. Track 1 was Under Pressure. Track 2, Here Comes My Girl. Track 3, When Doves Cry. Track 4, Tiny Dancer. And track 5 was Bad.
Anthony?
Mine is track 1, Undivided. Track 2, If It Makes You Happy. Track 3, Hash Pipe. Track 4, Where the Streets Have No Name. And track 5, Shot in the Dark.
All right. And Eric?
All right. Number 1, I Was Wrong, Social Distortion. Number 2, Stan, Poison. Number 3, Queen, I Want It All. Number 4, Motley Crue, Dancing on Glass. And number 5, Shinedown, Get Up.
All right, playlisters. Now we turn it over to you. Head over to PlaylistWarsPodcast.com. Visit the Playlist Wars 1-year anniversary page and vote for which one of these playlisters you think got it right. Gentlemen, I want to thank you guys so much for being with us. Tim, looking forward to doing a Counting Crows episode with you. Eric, looking forward to doing a Joe Bonamassa episode with you.
Yes,
and
sir.
And Anthony, you need to find an artist because we need to have you on for a full-length episode in year 2. We need to do a Monkey Noodles episode of Playlist Wars. So come up with some ideas, send them our way, and we will make it happen, man.
Definitely. I can really appreciate that. You have no idea how much of an honor it is to even be included in this along with Tim and Eric. So thank you all so much again. Really, really fun.
If I'm speaking on behalf of Gomez and I'm sure he's going to say something too.
No, I'm not. I decided I quit.
Honestly, you guys and the people out there listening are what make this show what it is.
Yeah.
So without you guys, it would not be the show that it's become over the last year. So our heartfelt thanks to you guys, as well as everyone who listens, even if it's for one episode. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And now I do have one little trivia, Brian, if you don't mind me getting into this one.
Yeah, dude, drop a trivia. Why not?
So, guys, I got a question for you guys. Which Playlist Wars episode was the most downloaded in our first year?
I'll give one hint. It was talked about tonight at some point during the episode. You each get one guess.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, my God.
I love putting people on the spot now. This might have to be a reoccurring thing every 6 months, maybe. Tim, let's start it off with you, buddy.
I'll just go with the U2 episode.
Okay, we got U2. Anthony?
I'm going to say Poison.
Poison? And Eric, what do you got?
The soundtrack.
All right, you guys are ready for the real answer?
So no one got it right.
No one got it right. But I'll tell you, all of them are good guesses. This one still shocked me myself a little bit when Brian told me about 2 weeks ago. I didn't think it would happen. I thought you two would have been the one. But it was episode 19, the 90s hip hop with our buddy Doug Miller.
Wow.
Every week that one just consistently keeps growing. But we have no other hip hop episodes. And so at some point we're going to have to do another hip hop episode. So we've got Doug coming back.
Wow.
Everybody's heard how amazing Brian's playlist is, right?
Thank you.
I don't think, but that's the funny thing is that Brian didn't win that episode.
I know, but now I know who voted for me. Tim, thank you, sir.
Listen, we all know who didn't vote for you, and you too.
Everybody.
That is awesome.
Oh, God.
But you know what? I won the Christmas episode. So maybe I was just playing the long game. I planted the seed in you two just so I could win the Christmas episode 30 something episodes later. Exactly. This is called Playlist Wars, dude. Gentlemen, this has been an absolute blast. I want to thank each one of you individually for coming on tonight. You guys are big supporters of the show. Some of our good friends of the show, you guys are always chiming in. And Tim, first off, thank you so, so much. We're looking forward to talking Counting Crows with you. And I think that one's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you for coming on, man.
You're very welcome. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you for all the entertainment you've provided on many drives and rough work days. So I appreciate you guys doing that. So,
Eric, thank you so much, dude. We had a blast on Shinedown. And Joe Bonamassa is going to be a deep one because he's not a household name, but we're going to introduce some people to one of the best blues guitarists, definitely of the century, maybe could be in consideration, dare I say it, of all time.
That's going to be an interesting conversation.
It really is. It really is. He is a massive, massive force to be reckoned with in the blues world.
Yes, he is. And I just appreciate you asking me to be on your show. I know I'm on social media, but thank you for sticking with me. And it's a good community. It is.
And Anthony, I know we haven't had you on for a full episode yet, but let's get that conversation going and make it happen in year two. Send us a list of bands you want to talk about, some topics you're interested in, and we're going to come up with something, and we're going to do a Monkey Noodles episode of Playlist Wars. Thank you so, so much for coming on as well, dude.
Oh, you're welcome. And that definitely sounds good. I'll have to get to work on that list here pretty soon then. But yeah, it's really been a pleasure being here tonight and some really cool and great company with Tim and Eric. So I got to thank you all for that.
No problem. Well, guys, I got to thank you again, Tim, Anthony, Eric. Thank you for taking the time out to be with us on this awesome episode that we are going to be airing of our 1 year, which is unbelievable. And thanks to you guys always. Also, I got to thank all the playlisters that do make this show work for us. Thank you for always chiming in on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything that we could think of. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be doing this, but this is something we love to do. And we can't thank you guys enough for celebrating it with our 1 year anniversary for this episode. I got to thank Brian, as usual, who does everything in the world for this show. You do it all for us. And I can't thank you enough, Brian. Also, check us out on patreon.com/playlistwars. Pick a tier that works for you and join us for an episode. Guys, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And check us out when a new battle takes place on Playlist Wars. See you next week.
You can find Playlist Wars on Facebook and Twitter at Playlist Wars, on Instagram at Playlist Wars Podcast, on email at playlistwars@gmail.com or via voicemail at 201-644-6498. That's 201-644-6498. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a 5-star review and be sure to tell a friend or multiple friends about the show. Until next time, thanks for listening.